We are gathered here today to be in our Father's presence. We're related, we're kin, because we have been adopted into His family, Lord, by the gift of baptism. And so let us begin our worship service today, remembering that day that we were made family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to come into your presence. We thank you for this word of God that you have used to introduce yourself to us and show us what you have done so that we might be saved. Lord, I pray that you would work through this word, that you would work through this service, that you would work through the gift of Holy Communion that we receive to build us up, to grow us, Lord, so that our faith in you may be strong, that you may hold us to yourself, so that we may be take comfort, Lord, in your grace and your love and your mercy and in the promise of eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for all of this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, as we come into our Father's presence, we become very aware of our sin. He is perfect and we are not. And this word, you know, explains to us God's grace for us, but it also shows us His expectations, His law, which we don't measure up. So let us now stand up and let us confess to our God what is true about ourselves. Let us confess our sin and then receive what is true from our God, His forgiveness and righteousness. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, it is now time to sing praises to this God, and we have every reason to do so as we have just received his forgiveness. Let us sing together.
is, "Come thou fount of every blessing." Today we're going to learn what that first verse means to us. "Come thou fount" starts by setting before us a gospel-centered model for worship. Come in both in corporately praising God and for giving him glory in his day-to-day lives. We are to look to what God has done for us and respond accordingly with songs of loudest praise. The line, "Teach me some melodious sonnet," sung by flaming tongues above, is reminiscent of the cry of longing in the Lord's Prayer. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We want to model the angels' praise as we gather together as Christians. Towards the end of the verse, there is a glorious assurance that we are fixed upon the mountain of God's redeeming love. We are held fast to this vast love that seeks to show affection on us despite our performance.
Every blessing to my Good morning. My name is Steve Mangrum, one of your elders. The first scripture reading for today is from Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 through chapter 4, verse 1. Join together in following my examples, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, and their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that we may be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Now we have the children's message, and I believe it's with Lewis.
Oh, good morning. Yes, it is children's message time, so please come on down. Oh, how are you guys? Well, there's a lot today. Good to see everybody. All right. Hey, Mason, how are you? Good. Okay, so I don't know if you guys were listening to that message, and as I was reading it this week, trying to think about what am I going to talk to you guys about today, one thing that came to me as I was thinking about you guys and the ages that you are, is have you ever thought about why do we come to church every Sunday and we come and we all come together here? Why do you think we do that? Anybody have any thoughts?
Learn about God.
Learn about God, yes. Great. Anyone else have any thoughts? Yeah. Oh, okay. That's all right. But yeah, we come to learn about God. That is why we're here. That is, we try to do that every day. But another thing that was really important, and as you think about what was read, talked about joining together brothers and sisters. And while it's true that God is everywhere, so he could be with you in your house or in your car, God is always with you, but there is something very special when brothers and sisters, we all come together and we lift our hearts in praise to God, and we get forgiveness, but we get to see each other, and there's something very special about looking around a room and seeing people who believe the same things that we do, who want to pray for us, who want to make sure that we have a relationship with God that can never be taken away from us, and then we're so filled with that that we go out and we share that with others. Isn't it pretty cool? Yeah, so that's one of the big reasons why we come together every Sunday to be a family of brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come together as brothers and sisters to be fed by you, to hear your words, to encourage each other. We just ask you to continue to be with us, guide and direct us, and help us to share the love that you have shown to us with others. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, thank you guys for coming up. And right now it's time for a little worship. And there is a cross over there to the left. So everyone who is 4 years old to fourth grade, there is a special message for you.
Thank you so much, Lewis. All right, my friends. As the kids head off to little worship, The rest of us, let's bow our heads and pray as we open up God's word to this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask your special blessing upon this message, Lord, and that as we open your word, Lord, your word is an amazing thing, this revelation of you for us. And Lord, I pray that you would send your spirit to work in and through us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to understand. Help us to apply this word to ourselves, Lord, especially that unbelievable grace and forgiveness that you have for us, Lord. We thank you for all this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends. Today, this sermon text is Luke chapter 6, verse 17 to 26. And to give you some context, understanding of where this fits into the whole big story of Jesus on earth is that Jesus, remember, Luke 1 and 2 is all Christmas story stuff, and then he heads into his temptation, and he heads into his baptism, he heads into the calling of his disciples, and then he went out and he did a little bit of healing, you know, just basically going around having compassion on people and healing people, and then he heads into giving his disciples some very basic training. And that's exactly what this lesson is laying down basic understanding and expectations for his disciples, because these are people who have no idea what to expect from this new master that they've just decided to follow. And so here we are. It says, Luke chapter 6, 17 to 26, he went down with them and stood in a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." Well, what do you make of that? It's kind of some pretty direct language coming from Jesus. I mean, Jesus, isn't he that guy that loved all the children and just brought them all to him? And, you know, the one who healed, the one who preserved life and prolonged and helped people to find joy. But all of a sudden now he's laying down this really harsh sounding stuff. And the question is, why on earth is he doing it? Well, here's the thing. We're going to play a little Jenga today. Anybody like this game? This is a game that I really, really love when I win. Be honest, right? Anyway, so the thing is that Jenga is a game that is all about a solid foundation, isn't it? I mean, you ever play Jenga on a pillow? Or a mattress? It doesn't work, right? I mean, you need a solid table. This is actually not that solid, but we're going to make it work for us today, okay? And so first of all, you need to have a solid foundation. Now, these blocks, I cut them myself because I'm cheap. And the thing is this, when I cut them myself, I didn't run it through the saw both ways. And so they are a tiny bit taller than they are wide. You know what I'm saying? So here's the thing. On the first rail of Jenga, the first bottom, you know, set, I have to make sure all the blocks are laying the same way, because if you don't, I won't have a solid foundation. And by the time the Jenga pile gets that high, that solid foundation is really, really, really important. And this is not going to stand if the blocks at the base aren't all the right blocks set the right way. just the way they need to be to give us a really solid foundation. Foundations are wildly important. And that's what Jesus was laying today. He was laying a foundation. Now, the message that he gave us wasn't exactly the first row of bricks for us, but for the disciples, it was. For us, we have learned a little bit more. We understand God has revealed to us the why and wherefore of the lesson that he gave them today. But what he's telling his disciples is, if you guys don't have a good base and foundation, if you don't understand exactly what to expect from this whole discipleship thing, this following Jesus, this being his disciple, you're going to get knocked over easily because you just don't have a good understanding. If you don't have a good understanding, you try to build your life on the wrong understanding, things are going to get topply, right? I mean, you're just not going to be stable. And so here's what Jesus tells his disciples. He says this: blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. All right. You guys all like had your life aspirations, right? When you were in high school and you were trying to decide what you were going to do with your life, who had as their goal to be poor? I don't understand. It says right there, we're supposed to be poor, right? Because if we're poor, we're blessed, right? Okay, well, let's keep going. All right, so now it's going to be this. He's going to say, blessed are you who are hungry now. So who had their goal in life to be hungry? Who likes being hungry? Who likes being hungry if there's no food in front of you? If there's food in front of you, like Thanksgiving, you know, my kids, they come home and they're like locusts to the refrigerator. I mean, it's like unbelievable. You stack the refrigerator, the cabinets with all the food you possibly can. When the three boys came home at once, they would eat us out of house and home within a day. We would have to go back to the store. Why? Because they didn't like the cafeteria food. So when they knew they were coming home, guess what? They didn't eat anymore. So they came home hungry. And then they ate. And the thing is that while we might plan to be hungry at certain times in our life, is it ever our plan to be hungry without a plan? No, that would be dumb and uncomfortable. So of course, we're not going to try to be hungry. That doesn't make any sense at all. All right, so we're going to continue then. So let's see here now. Blessed are you who are hungry now. Blessed are those who weep now. All right, this is getting better and better, right? I don't think he's talking about crocodile tears either, you know, just crying for the sake of crying. Like, we've seen kids pull that one, right? When they're just looking for sympathy and nothing's really wrong. No, he's talking about that we weep because we actually have reason to weep. Who's aiming for that? You guys are a hard bunch. I don't know what I'm going to do with you guys. All right. So we keep going. This gets better, right? All those things, you know, poverty, hungry, cause for weeping. He says, when that happens, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. I don't even do that. That's not even a thing. You know, I'm telling you what, you know, when Jason can bear witness, when I'm on the way home from a mission trip, I've slept on the floor. I've used muscles that I haven't used in a year since I've been on the last mission trip. I've usually carried lots of heavy things, which throws your back all out of whack. I am sore and really, really tired and kind of grumpy on the way home, right? And so I have reason to be sad. I'm longing for some kind of rest. I'm not leaping for joy, just so you understand how this goes, right? And so what sense does this entire sermon make? I mean, really, truly, Jesus isn't just making stuff up here. He's telling us something really foundational for our Christian life. You know what the foundational thing he's teaching us? He's telling us this. He's saying, guys, listen, you're not living for now. This Christian walk that we're living, we're not living for now. We're living for the day that he comes back. We're living for the promise of the future that Jesus has is preparing for us right now. And the one that he has prepared us for by dying on the cross and giving us his righteousness. We're living for the day when Jesus will come again and take us all to be with him, and all of our needs are met, and every pain is healed, and everything that has ever been wrong is set right. That's what we're living for. And understand why that is a thing is to go back to the very basic foundation of what it means to be a Christian. The first brick in the understanding of our faith is that sin was not supposed to be in the world. It wasn't supposed to be here. That God created the world without sin, that it was supposed to be a perfect place, and everything was supposed to give glory to the God, the one who created it. But then what happened? We sinned. Adam and Eve sinned, and because they sin, we all sin. And sin is now in the world, and it is a part of the world. But God has promised to send his son into this world to redeem this world and to redeem us from the sin in this world. And that one day, we will get to experience a place with no more sin. Through sin comes death, through sin comes suffering, through sin comes disease, through sin comes a destruction of all of our relationships, through sin comes a destruction of the relationship between people and the creation that God created for us, so that now we are living at odds with the world around us in so many ways, and the world is just like pounding us with hurricanes and tsunamis and with tornadoes and with storms and with all these different things. And of course, even our bodies work against us now. Who doesn't have aches and pains yet? Kids don't have aches and pains yet. Anyway, but the thing is that our bodies even work against us, and we break down. But we know that this is our foundation, that we know that that sin came into the world and that Jesus came to deal with sin. But what that means for us today is this: the world is full of sin, that Jesus came to set things right, but we live in this strange time of now but not yet. Between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus, sin has been defeated, yet we live and feel and experience the effects of sin still. And God in his wisdom is waiting to come back until just the right time, when he will separate the godly from the ungodly, and that we will spend eternity with him as the people he has chosen and covered with his forgiveness. But until that day, we live in a world that is not at peace. And we need to understand that as we build the rest of our tower, right? Because here's the thing: if we know that we're living in a sinful world, can we expect all the people around us to act good all the time? Can we expect ourselves to act good all the time? Well, no, because we know there's sin in the world, and there's sin in us, and we will sin. Do we believe that all people are embracing God and loving him and knowing him and wanting his lordship over their lives? Well, no, because God tells us that the sin in the world causes people to live at odds with God, to fight him. And so if we're living in a world that is full of people who are at odds with God, and we are trying to live as his disciples, how do you expect the world to treat us? Well, let's find out. If we flip over to John chapter 15, starting at verse 16, this is Jesus talking, okay? And he tells his disciples, "If the world hates you, know that it's hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but you are not of the world. I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the world that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. You understand how this works? There was sin in the world, and the sin kept people from recognizing Jesus and treating Jesus, God himself, the way he deserved to be treated. How do you think the world is going to treat us? And so as we learn how to be Christian men of God, Christian women of God, as we learn to obey our parents and honor them always, we know that there is sin in us, and we know there is sin in them. We know there is sin in the world. And as we deal with things like sickness, right? Are we surprised that sickness comes to the people we love? Well, no. Does God want us to be praying about it? And does he give us healing sometimes? Yes. Does it always happen in this life? No. Because there's sin in the world. And the time that the sin is out of the world is the time that is yet to come. And if we have expectations that this world is going to be some perfect place, that we're going to be able to overcome all of the evil in the world, are we going to be building a solid foundation? Or are we going to build a tower that's going to fall over? And so Jesus tells us very, very clearly, you will struggle. And not only will you struggle because of the sin in the world, not only will you struggle because of just sin in general, we're going to struggle because we are speaking God's truth to a world that might not want to hear it. We're going to have to say things that the world doesn't want to hear, because our job is to speak the truth in love, right? But that does mean speak the truth. Love, sometimes we think love means that we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but that's not always an option, because our job is to speak the truth, even if it does hurt somebody's feelings, because we love the person enough to want them to know the truth that God has for them. And so we might have to tell people, God, the way you're living, the way you're choosing to live, the way you see yourself, the identity you're choosing for yourself, it's not right. It's not the identity that your God created you to have. It's something that you've created for yourself out of your own ambitions and imagination and whatever. But this is not who you are. Who you are is a loved person that God created, who he wants to be his disciple, who he died for and loved. That's your identity. That is who you are. It isn't your sexuality. It's not. It's not who you are. It's not your job. It's not a relationship with somebody. It's not, what else do we pick? I mean, there's so many things in this world that we make what we are. We put that first. And what God is telling you is this: it is your relationship with him is who you are. He created you specifically, individually, personally. He made you exactly as you are, and he says, you are mine, and I love you. And there is nothing you can do about that to change that. That is who you are. And if we belong to him, he says, the world's going to treat you badly. So don't grieve when the world treats you badly. Don't run away from the being treated badly. You're being treated badly because you belong to him. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. That's nothing. That's something to celebrate. That's something to hold up. That's a banner to hold up. I belong to God. He has rescued me. I have an eternity with him. I know where I'm going at the end. I know the end of the story. And the end of the story is good because the God of all creation died for me. And just think about that. That if that is our future, are we going to hide from that? Well, absolutely not, but here's the thing. We're heading into a difficult time in history. I mean, we've had it easy for a really long time as the church. You know, we had politicians even pretend to be Christian just to get votes because so many people thought Christianity was awesome, right? Well, that time's coming to an end. And guys, these words that Jesus has given us are words that we need to take seriously today and prepare for. That we would be expecting that we're going to be treated badly because we're speaking God's truth in love. And we have to be okay with that. Jesus was okay with that. He tells us, he warns us, he tells us this is coming. Be prepared. Don't be afraid. You know the end of the story. Don't be afraid because you know what's at the other end of death. You know that we know that eternity is going to be with God, that he has, that when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, it means that our redemption was complete. That we have certainty in his gospel, we have certainty in his grace, we have certainty in the faith that the Spirit has put in us, we have certainty in our God, and because of that certainty, we can face the uncertainty in this world. But my friends, speak the truth. If it causes us to be poor, rejoice, because we belong to him. If it causes us to be hungry, rejoice, because it means we belong to him. If it causes us to be reviled, to be rejected, to be hated by those in the world, then that's what it costs. And we rejoice because we still belong to him. Kind of a hard message today, isn't it? Not the kind of message I want to have to give. But as we look at the world today, it's the kind of message I kind of have to give. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared. We have to know that this could cost us something. But we have to know that deciding whether or not this is worth it is kind of a silly question, really, isn't it? An eternity with him, when things are all made perfect, and we revel in his love forever. Should we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you. We thank you that you have made us. We thank you that you have brought us into your family, that you love us so much. I pray that you would continue to help us. Continue to help us as we grow in you, as we face the struggles of this world, as we dig into your word to know your truth so that we can speak it with love. Help us, Lord. And be with us as you have promised to be. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us continue our worship by singing to our Lord. So deeply, the time. My friends, let us stand and as we confess. We're going to stand as we say what we stand for. And what we stand for is what God has revealed to us through his word about himself. At first, and when we first came into this room, we confessed what was true about us. Now let's confess what's true about God using the explanation of this first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me and all my soul, my eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. All right, my friends, well, as we head into our prayer time, there's two things that I want us to be praying for. First of all, the family of Ethel Boudry. She's here this morning with us. She's recently lost her mother, Pauline Wessander, and we want to be praying for her family as they grieve. And then she also found out that on Friday that her husband's sister, Charlene, also died. And then since then, they found out that her husband's youngest sister is just been hospitalized. So the family's going through an awful lot right now. We want to be holding them up in prayer. Also, on a very happy note, Ron and Lil Putman are going to be celebrating their 64th wedding anniversary on Tuesday. So we want to be praying for them as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are a God of all of us, Lord, the God that has given us every good gift. And one of those amazing gifts you have given us, Lord, is the gift of marriage, the gift of family, Lord, the gift of two people coming together in youth to raise children, to grow together and serve you together. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bless every marriage in our congregation and community, that you would continue to help us, Lord, to come together around you. And in your grace, in your love, to do your work among your people in your world. Lord, I pray especially, Lord, for Ron and Lil, Lord, as they are celebrating their 64th wedding anniversary together. I pray that you would continue to bless them, hold them up, give them, Lord, all that they need as you have held them for the last 64 years and far beyond that. Lord, just continue to love them. And help us, Lord, to celebrate with them this great milestone. Lord, I pray that you would be in and among our congregation as we continue to work for you in this world, Lord. Especially, I want to remember today the Mothers of Preschool Ministry and the amazing ministry that they are able to do, Lord. People in our congregation, people in our community who come together, Lord, to build each other up. I pray that you would continue to bless that ministry, Lord, and the 90 people who are attending currently, that you would continue to bring your healing, your help, your love, your truth into the lives of more people so that more can be blessed by the knowledge of your gospel and the reception, Lord, of your grace. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all those who do ministry, Lord, here and throughout the world, Lord, that you would continue to give us all strength, continue to give us passion and guidance and zeal to continue to move into the future, Lord, as we work to spread your gospel. And when I say all of us who work to do your ministry, I'm not just talking about those who are professionally involved in spreading your word, but every single Christian whose job it is to spread the gospel to the people around them, to speak your truth in love so that more people can know what your truth is. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bless the children of our congregation. Help them, Lord, to grow into a stronger relationship with you every day. Use their parents. Use all of us, Lord. Work through the Sunday school program, through Club 456, through youth ministry, through everything, Lord, that we're doing, Lord. But then also just use those those the small conversations that we are able to have with them to continue to steer them ever closer to you so that their lives may be blessed with your truth. Lord, all these things we bring to you this day, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say. here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
My dear friends, we have just had an amazing opportunity to be in the presence of our God and to receive from him an amazing gift of his body and blood, the same body and blood that was shed, given and shed for us on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. And we receive that gift from him to deliver to us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that he earned for us on that cross. And so as we have received this and as we know his promise is true, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's sing our final song together. Let's stand as we sing.
for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. We sing, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever.
Please have a seat. We're going to see a video here. Our Sunday school program is doing some pretty amazing stuff in the coming weeks. And so let's see something about it. All right. And so that's coming next week. Is that correct? Very good. Next week that all begins. And so kids, get excited and come. And we're going to meet in the lobby and then head down. Is that the way it works? Very good. All right. I got hand signals with Lauren going on here, so we're in good shape. All right. Excellent. And other than that, I really don't have any other announcements for you other than, guys, don't forget, tomorrow's Valentine's Day.
We got one more announcement.
What's that?
We got one more announcement. Anybody who looked at your bulletin today will notice in the birthdays that this coming week is Pastor Bob's birthday. So let's sing to Pastor Bob.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Bob. Happy birthday to you. God's blessing.
Thank you very much. Yes, I am. Thank you, Sawyer. And I appreciate it. Just so you know, I'm turning 52, which is disturbing. But here's the thing. When I came here, my gray hair was, I didn't have much. I was 31. So I've been here 21 years now. And here's the thing is that, you know, if I'm going to get old, I'm glad I get to get old here. This is a great place, and you guys are fabulous people. And I'm so glad of all the things we get to do together, and I just pray that God would continue to bless us as we all get closer to Him together. All right? God's blessings on your day, and thank you so much.